Our God is an awesome God, and we come in his precious name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite you to turn to our text, if you will, as Pastor read it for us a moment ago from James chapter 1. Toward the end of the New Testament, an important book for us from which we can learn. It's actually one of the books that Martin Luther, probably liked the least, but it's one that he even knew we could gain experience and gain treasures from God as we read and study his precious word. Our theme for tonight is being tested without toppling. Each of the lessons that you've just heard speak in some sense about testing and trials and temptations. May God bless us as we recognize that trials do come to us and that God calls us by his Spirit through his word to have the power and strength we need, the humble power about which we just sang, to be able to withstand those temptations and to be stronger on the other side of them. That's God's desire for us, that we recognize trials when they come, and whether those trials be from God or from the devil, that we stand firm through the power of his precious word. God's word tells us, and James does tonight, that we can grow strong through those difficulties which come our way. From James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, just before our text, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." James speaks to us of maturity in faith, and so do many of the other writers of the New Testament. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're reminded too that we are born into sin, that God remakes us, recreates us through the waters of baptism and through our faith. And ever since we were born, ever since we were reborn into faith in Christ, we've faced trials of many sorts. God's desire is that through those trials, we become strengthened and we become mature in our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 2, all of those speak about starting with spiritual milk but growing to be able to take more, to understand more in terms of God's will and his holy desire for us and for our lives. We begin as little infants through our faith in Christ, and his desire is that throughout our whole lifetime, maybe to this old man's age, that we continue to grow and mature and strengthen in the faith. And you can see what the old man has before him on the table, and that's an open Bible. How is it that we grow in our faith? It is as we continue to trust in God, as we listen to his word, and he helps us through every trial and difficulty of life. James tells us that there are many trials we face. And I suppose that each of us tonight come to this place of worship, come before this altar and that cross, bringing trials of all sorts with us. I may name one of those trials, which is a difficulty or concern for you, and there may be many others that you bring. As you come, know this, that the Lord your God knows your trials. He knows every part of your lives, every disappointment, every heartache, every difficulty, every joy and challenge. He knows them all. Some of the trials that we bring with us are psychological trials. There are worries and fears and concerns and depression. It could be any or all of those or any others that are in our minds. and were tried, weighed heavily by some of those difficulties. For some of us, it may be financial. What will happen next? How will I be able to make it through? What bills are yet coming this month, and how much more month is there before I start running out of money? For some, it's concerns about retirement, and how will I make it through the years to come? Will I have enough to be able to retire? What will happen in the days to come? For some, it's this roller coaster we've been on in the stock market, up and down, way up and way down, and we're worried about finances. For others of us still, there are concerns about relationships. Maybe you're in a difficult relationship, a hard marriage, boyfriends or girlfriends, fiancés. Maybe you've been in a difficult relationship for a long time. Perhaps there are relationship issues in families too, mother and father and parents and children and siblings, brothers and sisters. Difficulties and hardships, trials in all those close relationships. And for still others, there are concerns that deal with our faith itself, about what we believe and how we believe it and how we live out that faith, and the trials in our world where some literally place their heads on the line, where they place their lives on the line because they testify and believe that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many like these literally lose their lives for the sake of Christ. James tells us that we'll face all kinds of trials. And as we face those trials, we are tested in our faith. Our faith is tested, and how will it turn out? What will happen? How will I withstand? Can I or will I not be able to stand up, stand firm, stand for the Savior in each of those relationships, in each of those situations and hardships? But God's desire is that He, when we are tested, will help us through those testings, through those trials, through the temptations, and James says, give us that crown of life. Be firm, stand firm to the end, God tells us, and I will give you the crown of eternal life, His promise in the last book of Scripture. As we think about the text that we were given this evening, the Old Testament reading was about Abraham. And you remember how Abraham was tested sorely. Now let's make a distinction, and I think that's the distinction that James makes in our text for tonight, that God tempts no one. However, God does test. And think of this ultimate test for Abraham. Do you remember that Abraham was over 100 years old by this point? He had waited 100 years for this son to be born. And then some years later, God tested him in this way. How much later? Well, I'm not sure, but can you imagine Isaac's age? Isaac was old enough to carry the wood. He wasn't just a toddler. He could carry the wood, and when they were on the way, Dad, he said, look, here's the fire, and here's the knife, and here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? He was old enough and wise enough to know that they needed something to be able to sacrifice, so he might have been a teenager. Abraham had loved him all of those years, and now God told him, this one that you had waited for so long, I want you to sacrifice him to me. Who's more important, Abraham, this child or me? And so Abraham, notice in Genesis 22, the very next day, early in the morning, after God spoke to him, he got up early in the morning, made the preparations, and they went right away. He didn't dawdle. He didn't wait. He didn't try to prolong things. He did what God told him, and they went out to this sacrifice. And just as he was ready to make the sacrifice, God himself, the angel of the Lord, stopped him. And the angel said to him, now I know that you would give nothing, give everything, give even this son, because I told you to, that nothing is more important than me, the first commandment. Have nothing else above me. And in this way, it was literal. Talk about trials. God tests us. God allows trials. God even brings trials into our lives at times to strengthen us, to make us stronger, to help us know that with His help, we can make it through these difficulties and these hardships. How about the gospel reading for this evening? Remember where Jesus is tempted? He's baptized and then driven, taken out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and there he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's tempted by the devil. Now, that's a trial too, but do you see the difference? God allows trials. God creates trials sometimes so that he can test us to make us stronger, so that we believe and receive that crown of life. The devil, on the other hand, tempts us. And as he tempts us, the devil seeks to destroy our faith. The devil seeks to keep us away from God, for us to be eternally damned. God tests. The devil tempts for our destruction. Jesus went out into the wilderness and was tempted in every way, Luke tells us, in every way that we are, except without sinning. The writer of Hebrews says we have a high priest who's not unable to sympathize with us, but he's been tested, tempted in every way that we are, except he has withstood without sinning. That same Jesus is our Savior. Jesus withstood the testing, the temptation of the devil by the power of God's holy word. And in his word, God in Christ was able to withstand sin and death and the power of the devil. Brothers and sisters, temptation so often comes to us. And temptation is that thing that lurks in the background. It comes when we least expect it. And sometimes, many times, it seems like it comes in the nighttime to be able to trick, to sneak up on us, and then finally to destroy us. Dawson, would you come up for just a minute? Can I borrow you? See, that's my way of making sure you're paying attention. You're doing fine. Come on up. And you maybe have heard or remembered me doing this before, but one of the best illustrations of temptation I can think of is the American Sign Language sign for temptation. Do you remember what it is? I'd like for you all to do this. Do this with your elbow and with your fingers, and here I'll tell you why. Dawson, turn this way. What happens is the devil comes up behind us, and the devil says, "Come on, Dawson, do this. Nobody's going to know. Nobody will see. Come on, Dawson. It'll be okay. Dawson, you know you want to." All right, you can go sit down. Thank you very much. And see, that's what the devil tries to do. He would sneak up behind us to get us to go his way, come my way, away from God. And that leads to that death that our text talks about. That's actually what James says. James says that what the devil does is he plants a desire in our heart and mind. And when we give way to that desire, that temptation, whatever it might be, that temptation grows. You know, the temptation to think that that man or woman outside of my marriage relationship looks a lot better than the one inside my relationship. Those supplies or those dollars at work, nobody's going to miss them. Nobody knows. I deserve that anyway. Somebody else is always better than me. What I want is what they have, that thing, that place, that person. And that's the desire the devil plants in us. James says that when that desire grows, that desire becomes sin, and it grows so that it multiplies. Not only do I think it, do I want it, do I desire it, but then I do it, and then it becomes sin. That sin, that desire that grows. And what James says is that sin unchecked, continued to grow, creates and causes death, spiritual death, separation eternally from God. That's how the devil tempts. That's what he seeks to do in destroying us. But James reminds us, brothers and sisters, whatever that thing out there is that looks so good or seems so good or we think would feel so good is not from God, it's from the devil with temptation. James reminds us every good and perfect gift is from God above, and it comes to us through the power of his word. God desires that we have good things. God wants to bless us in so many ways. What did he say to Abraham in the text from the Old Testament? Because you have done this thing, he told Abraham, I will bless you, and all the nations of the world will be blessed because of what you've done. Through Abraham and Isaac came Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus is tempted in every way that we are. He knows exactly what you're going through, but he didn't sin. And because he didn't sin, he is your and my perfect substitute so that we are forgiven our sins, forgiven when we fall into temptation, forgiven when we go away from God and toward what the devil brings our way. We are forgiven, empowered, and strengthened so that we can be blessed and be a blessing to others. That's what James says in our text for tonight when he says that God's desire is that we be the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits of those risen from the dead. And he calls us to be the first fruits, called by him, by the power of his word, away from the devil, away from the world, away from temptation, to himself in heaven. Do you know what the first fruits are? This is a great picture, a great image of tomatoes ripening on the vine. If any of you grow gardens, you'll know that oftentimes, most often, in your garden, there's one vegetable, one piece of fruit, whatever it might be, that ripens before all the rest. And you almost think, what am I going to do with this one thing before all the rest ripen? But the beautiful thing about first fruits is that there's a promise, they are a promise of more to follow. Look at this vine filled with tomatoes. That first ripe, red, beautiful tomato promises that more will follow. That's the first fruit. Jesus, the first fruit from the dead. We, the first fruits, through the faith in him, through his word, that there will be more who follow. Abraham was blessed and a blessing to others. We are blessed and called to be a blessing to others around us. May God help you, brothers and sisters, and me too, to see temptation for what it is, to recognize that in the trials we go through, some of them are from God because they're to test us and to strengthen us in our faith. Some of the trials we go through are a temptation by the devil intended to destroy us. May God empower and strengthen us through whatever trials we face, to face them with strength and courage and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who will safely carry us through. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so that you might be tested without toppling. For Jesus' sake, amen.